This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Kusi Chuang and Julian Ng. 7:46 right now. We've got The Breakfast Grill coming up in about 20 minutes. Ibrahim Sani will be speaking to Tan King Liang, Youth Chief of Parti Gerakan Rakyat Malaysia. He's just arrived to the studio. He's having a chat with Ibrahim outside. And you can expect an interesting conversation on The Breakfast Grill today.
Incendiary, I'm sure. You know, I come from Penang, and we both come from Penang, Melissa, and Gerakan is actually, well, Penang used to be a stronghold back in the day, and of course, Tan Sri Dr. Koh Soo Koon was the beacon, the shining beacon. But Gerakan's reputation has taken a real pummeling, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Even to the point of locals in Penang calling him a seedless durian. Remember those days? I mean, in Hokkien, of course.
Okay. Well, basically, you know, there are questions to be asked about what exactly is Gerakan's impact to society, to business, what have they done for the community, all that to be asked, right? Given that they are one of the smaller parties in the coalition, how much sway do they have in terms of party politics?
How do you say that in Hokkien again? Which one, the durian one?
Yeah.
Bohut.
I learned something new. Okay. All right. Let's take a look at the local business headlines of the day. DRB HICOM, they say that they have no plans to sell off its entire stake in Proton Holdings. They say they are highly committed to holding a substantial stake. Now, if you remember not too long ago, I believe The Edge had reported over the weekend, if you read that piece in The Edge Weekly, said that DRB HICOM was expecting as many as 7 bids for Proton by the middle of this month and may even sell as much as 100% of the company to foreign buyers.
Yeah, swiftly denied by DRB HICOM. And I guess this indicates that this whole national interest thing, this national policy thing, is still uppermost in their minds.
Okay, I don't know what they're trying to pull here, because I find the denial really weird, because what they're asking for is a request for a proposal for a partner to provide strategic, operational and cultural fit on a permanent basis. Now, what is that if not a code word for an effective sale, right? I mean, why would a foreign company provide all that without getting something in return?
Yeah.
So it's weird, right?
I mean, they've got several soft loans from the government, basically our money, to turn the ship around. Yeah, and it's contingent upon his business plan, and as well as being contingent upon a strategic partner coming in, up to 100%. Now, what on earth are they, you know, ingesting?
Hang on. I don't think that they. I don't think part of the conditions of the 1.5 billion soft loan that is contingent on a strategic partner, but not 100% stake. So yeah. I think a strategic partner coming in.
It's anything between 0 and 100%.
Correct.
I mean, that's the theoretical. Right. But if you're a foreign partner and you're coming in, you're going to be buying into a company which is selling 1 in every 10 cars in the country, which in itself is a bit of a pimple on the automotive roadmap. And you know, your only real assets are real estate, on which your factory sits, and a pretty good factory to assemble cars, which is, well, pretty much empty.
In Tanjung Malim, right?
Tanjung Malim.
Well, my question is it necessarily such a bad thing to sell 100% of Proton to another player?
Well, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Why do they feel so strongly about having to deny
this? Well, it really depends on how much of Dr. Mahathir's baby this still is, because he started, actually Proton is no longer a baby, but I think a petulant teenager.
Petulant teenager
right
now.
Teenager. This is middle-aged
man.
A middle-aged man living in his parents' house.
Midlife crisis
with no wife, no kids, no pride, no love.
Oh dear, Chua.
I'm sorry, that's the way it is.
So it depends on how much Dr. Mahathir still has a say, because this seems to point to the fact that they are unwilling to participate in that stake sale.
Precisely, pregnant silence follows.
I thought that Dr. Mahathir was no longer
part of
Proton,
advisor.
And that was, I guess, you know, his announcement that he was no longer an advisor to Proton. Then the announcement of the $1.5 billion ringgit soft loan came just days later.
Correct, but the Mahathir DNA is still very much in the Proton fold.
Okay. Well, I guess this is something that market watchers will be watching, because if this is in fact true, the disposal is expected to boost future earnings of DRB Highcom, as they will no longer need to consolidate the process, the losses of Proton. I'm also curious to see which car makers might be interested in coming in as a strategic partner. We've got news reports that perhaps Renault may be coming in, Volkswagen, Suzuki, all these the major names.
Geely as well. Geely has also in the past tried to court Proton as well.
Yeah. Look, I mean, if you're attractive young lass and you've got a lot of guys coming
but
to
the door.
But since
you are a middle-aged man living in Paris basement, you may not have that many suitors.
Well, exactly. And time goes by and you're the runaway bride and, people lose interest. And then one day you find yourself middle-aged and, a bit unloved and, it's the suits. They're not as handsome as they used to be. You know what I mean?
Okay. Glory days are over.
Glory days are over.
Okay. Well, in other news, we've got Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar Al-Bukhari seeking to raise at least 2.8 billion ringgit through an IPO of port assets through his flagship MMC Corp. Now, this could be one of our biggest, Malaysia's biggest deals since Malakoff raised the IPO.
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole local story, the local business scene is filled with Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar assets because DRB Highcom belongs to him. This MMC, that's Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar's holding company. He's been on this path, a bit like a monopoly board acquisition trail. He's finally closed the purchase of NCB Holdings, which gives him several more ports. Now he's also bought Penang Port, and I think in his personal capacity, he's put into the whole thing. So now he's got Pelepas, he's got Johor, he's got North Ports in KL. Now he's got Penang.
Yep. So he's a ports operator.
He's a ports operator. He wants to now spin it off. And it's going to be interesting because he's going to be, if this story is right, he's going to be selling to a market which is getting a bit cool.
Yes, but also I think people are looking for stuff to invest in. I'm not sure if ports will be on many of investors' radar because global trade, slowing down. China, you're talking about the China juggernaut slowing down. So that affects the ports businesses as well. But Syed Mokhtar has managed to slash company debt within his stable from about 26 billion in 2014 to about 8 to 9 billion right now, latest number in 2015. And this 2.8 to 3 billion ringgit would go in some way to further bring down that debt.
Well, still on Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar's businesses, Post Malaysia is in the news today. Post Malaysia, of course, being I think 56% owned by DRB Highcom. I think that was the last number. They believe that the share has gone up a little
32.21
bit.
32.21 actually.
Okay.
32, just under the 33%
just
mandatory.
Under the threshold, right.
Yeah.
So Post Malaysia in the news for wanting to tap into the e-commerce boom. They want Post Laju to be the main contributor for the Postal Services Group.
Yeah, so big numbers inside this business. Big numbers inside this business. Yeah, so there's mail, there's courier service. I just want to say that the mail segment registered higher revenue of 9.5 million ringgit for FY16, and courier is 556 million ringgit. So that's actually quite a lot of money for them to be trying to churn into e-commerce, and quite rightly so. They've got no other choice. I just want to point out that from a customer perspective, if you send stuff through Post Malaysia, it might not get to the other side, and I think they've got to sort out that whole logistics.
Well, yeah,
I don't know if that's fair because I've sent stuff before.
I've sent countless letters and
do you go with Post Laju because you can have a tracking mechanism?
Both.
And when I walked into that post office in Taman Tun, I was shocked one day to find a PR person welcoming me and greeting me. So I think they're doing stuff there, and I think there is a serious need to reinvent themselves. That's without a doubt. And e-commerce seems to be one of those logical places to go.
They are definitely reinventing themselves. I spoke to the CEO of Post Malaysia on the grill recently, Dato' Shukri Saleh, and he talked about the move towards focusing on e-commerce.
Basically, there are three main components of e-commerce: e-marketplace, e-fulfillment, and also payment gateway. As far as Post Malaysia is concerned, we do not really want to go into areas that we do not have strength. So meaning to say things like marketplace or even payment gateway for that matter, but to focus on e-fulfillment, which is currently being done by a unit under Post Malaysia, which is Post Laju. So we want to make sure Post Laju fully ready to tap into the market of e-commerce.
That was the CEO of Post Malaysia, Dato' Shukri Saleh. He was on The Breakfast Grill recently. You can download that podcast at our website. But, that is the way that I think Post Malaysia wants to transform itself. In other countries, right, when you see postal services groups transforming themselves, SingPost, for instance, Japan Post, they either go down one or two routes. Either they go the e-commerce route or they go down the financial services route, right? Because they have a presence across the country, so they provide some kind of banking financial services. Post Malaysia decided to go down the e-commerce route.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I mean, if you talk about new economies, you definitely an old economy distribution system to help you fuel and lubricate that movement of goods between one another. Just talking about transportation and the new and old economy, very big news here on how Airbus, you know, that plane maker, rival of Boeing, has been charged by the UK Serious Fraud Office in investigating some of Airbus's practices here in this part of the world, giving bribes and so on.
Yeah,
I think this is huge, right?
Very, it is. Very, I think it's it's a massive story.
Yeah, I mean, not saying AirAsia has got any connection with it, but, you know, AirAsia has been an Airbus fleet for the longest time, I think maybe 10 years. You know, I mean, just not saying anything, but I've flown an Airbus. I mean, they're fantastic. You know, the A320s are excellent middle-distance jets. But, of course, the business practices are at question by the UK Serious Fraud Office here.
And they've been gaining ground against their rival, Boeing. According to some numbers here provided by the Financial Times, Airbus has a total of about 6,800 jets right now. Boeing has about slightly under 5,700. So they've been gaining ground on Boeing. The implication here is that they're willing to do things, more things than Boeing here in Asia, where we are seeing that low-cost travel boom. Mm. And therefore, Boeing being restricted by acts such as the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act in the United States, losing out to Airbus as a result of that.
Yeah, it's quite an appropriate point you're making because, you know, some would say that, you know, smaller emerging countries have got different ways of doing business.
Lex rules, perhaps, you know, not as transparent in terms of governance.
Yeah, the accusation against Airbus, of course, having them admitted as well in April, there was discussions with the SFO, failing to notify authorities on the use of third-party agents, you know, brokers and agents and, you know, these middlemen, which all of us in Malaysia are very familiar terms with, in which was asking the UK government to come up with financing guarantees.
Okay, we've got the 8 o'clock news bulletin coming up in just a couple of minutes. After that, Ibrahim Sani speaks to Tan King Leong, youth chief of Parti Gerakan Rakyat Malaysia. Stay tuned for this fiery grill on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.